Hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of the Middle East Today, coming to you from Beirut. My name is Maryam Saleh. The Bahraini King Hamad bin Khalifa has said that the kingdom will dismiss charges against some people detained during crackdowns against popular protests and allow compensation to prisoners abused by security forces on the occasion of the end of the holy month of Ramadan. The opposition activists took to the streets immediately after the king's televised speech, blaming him for the brutal crackdown on the peaceful demonstrations. Meanwhile, a special security court in Bahrain resumed the trial of 20 doctors and nurses accused of treating injured anti-government protesters, something which has been the source of stark criticism from the human rights groups. What are the prospects of the continued crisis in Bahrain? That is what we'll be discussing today with my guests. I'm joined by Dr. Maher Saloom. He is a political activist. He's joining us here in the studio in Beirut. I'm also joined by Mr. Saeed Al-Shahabi from the Bahrain Freedom Movement. He's joining us from London. Let me begin with you, Dr. Saloom. Now, especially when we look at the crisis in Bahrain, you notice how the crackdown dealt with the medical personnel, mm-hmm. especially. I think you're following that up closely. Now, isn't it unheard of that we see people being taken to court just for helping the injured and actually taking care of people who are wounded? How do you look at that?
I think it's a unique case or matter, actually, in the courts of law and of any state internationally. I think this is against all odds, and human rights, I mean, activists and international agencies or bodies should be involved much more inside Bahrain. Now, regarding the media that was, transferring all those documents and information, what's going on inside Bahrain, whether in hospitals or in mosques, even on the streets of Bahrain back then. Now, this is has been seen as a dramatic scene, actually, in order for us to see doctors or nurses even being tried because they were helping or assisting for human rights. I mean, as a human being, let's say, assisting another person which was injured or tortured by the police officers and the Saudis, even when they were involved actually heavily with the Bahrainis inside the Kingdom of Bahrain. From the global point, actually, if we look inside the incidents that were going on actually in Manama al-Bahrain and major cities that the people were tortured, actually the oppositionists, we ought to look much more better, I mean, through media internationally. If we all remember, the media was not really monitoring such incidents or accidents and tortures by the Kingdom of Al-Khalifa or the king himself and his ruling party. Now, what's going on is we need to investigate. There should be a full and thorough investigation. What went wrong by the government of Al-Khalifa, and what went wrong, if, God forbid, with the oppositionists? I mean, there should have been certain laws that they needed to abide by and to apply. But the laws, unfortunately, were not seen by the international community here. And the people outside Bahrain, even in the Arab world, were not really interested what's going on there because they were busy, investigating other
uprisings.
Yes, uprisings in the spring of the Arabs, let's say. This is what has been quote-unquote, signified by the Americans or the West so far. Now, we need to look upon the declaration of any human rights that should be perpetrated or negotiated between the king himself and the oppositionists, whether they are Jamiyat al-Wifaq al-Watani or the NGO, the major NGOs, and the major activists, let's say, in the Kingdom of Bahrain. What they ought to look or dig deep down is what a certain process that they need to abide by or they need to agree upon, mm-hmm. in order for them to allocate such human rights.
The general aspect. Now we have, of course, Mr. Saeed Chabi. Allow me to ask him, since he is part of the opposition, the active opposition in Bahrain. Dr. Shahabi, now, is the pardon general, do you think that it will be inclusive to all political parties, and how can it change the critical political situation inside Bahrain?
Well, thank you very much. The dictator's remarks yesterday and speech did not add much to the reality of the situation. What is happening in Bahrain today is a movement by the public to oust the Al-Khalifa regime. They have failed to establish themselves as worthy of rule. So, and they have failed to introduce any reform in the past 6 months. Now, Hamad's speech yesterday did not really address the main grievances of the people. It didn't talk about the Saudi occupation of Bahrain. He didn't talk about the reforms that have been demanded by the people. He only referred to those who have participated in the demonstrations and considered himself to be in a position to offer pardon to this and tried that and so on. I think he is out of touch with reality, and as such he remains a threat to the stability of the country. This dictator, in line with other dictators like Mubarak and Gaddafi and Bin Ali, he is not capable of comprehending the reality of the situation. He does not want to understand that arresting and torturing medics and doctors is simply not acceptable, is a crime in itself. Now, today we have Dr. Nader Diwani, Dr. Ali Al-Ikri, Dr. Ghassan Daif, Dr. Saeed Al-Samahiji, whose life is in the balance now. He does not understand that he has committed, under his command, serious crimes against the humanity have been committed. He does not want to address these grievances, and he simply thinks that some people have taken part in demonstrations and that is illegal, and he is in a position to pardon them. I think it is time that he abdicates and leaves the others to go to Jeddah in Saudi Arabia or elsewhere, because simply the situation does not merit that such people continue to rule when they are totally out of touch with the reality.
Yes. Now, what from I hear from you, and of course the fact that the king did not give any concessions towards the opposition, does this mean that the situation has reached a stalemate, or can we say the opposition has not really reached the peak of its protests?
I think if we look at what has been happening over the past 30 days during Ramadan, not a single night did pass without a major demonstration in one area or another. In fact, in most cases, demonstrations had erupted in most of the areas, including yesterday after the dictator's speech. The people just reacted furiously, and they went to the streets and chanted, "Down with Hamad, down with Hamad." The people want regime change. So the opposition is still there. We are talking about two kinds of opposition: the opposition which is working within the framework of the regime, and the opposition represented by the 14th of February Alliance, and they are really leading the situation on the streets. They have decided that on the 23rd and 24th of September, the day of the elections for this hopeless and useless parliament, those 2 days will be days of reckoning. They will go to the streets, and they have planned to retake the Pearl Roundabout.
Yes.
And in fact, tomorrow or on the 30th of this month of August, they have made that day and designated it a day of major preparation for those coming demonstrations. The people are very clear in their mindset. They think that this ruling family is not fit to rule, especially after it had forfeited the sovereignty of the country to the Saudi armies and the UAE troops. They are, this ruling family simply cannot and could not defend itself, and it had brought in mercenaries to help it, and those mercenaries have committed serious crimes, including the destruction of mosques, the torture of people, and also the killing of innocent lives.
I'll come back to you, Dr. Saloom. Now, the fact that there's a lot of changes in the Arab world, many politicians are being changed, why is the kingdom so insisting on keeping the prime minister, who's been in rule perhaps longer than Libyan previous ruler Muammar Gaddafi himself.
Now, there could be a choice to choose another prime minister, but it seems that the national interests or the interest of the ruling king, actually himself, he wants to keep his royal maybe member, I believe so, as a prime minister. Now, this is not the key issue. To me, I believe there should be more dialogue between the both factions, actually the ruling party and the oppositionists today. Now, to think about a coup d'etat or to oust the king himself, I think it's a premature stage or a point right now at this stage, actually at this point in the time or in the history of Bahrain.
Well, the opposition themselves, they have said they wanted a constitutional monarchy.
It could be a good step towards changing the whole system maybe later on to bring it as a more democratic state in order for them, for their own political and their own socioeconomic rights. Now, do not forget the socioeconomic involvements or the participants and the circumstances that have been developing so far, because the people think that they are like third or fourth classes actually living in the kingdom of Bahrain. The corruption cases, the lack of job opportunities for the underdogs, let's say, or the oppositionists, those only ones that are close to the ruling party or to the ruling family, they have the better edge in jobs, opportunities, in economic values, in departments, in ministries, you know, positions. And so there's a lack of difference, or there's a huge difference.
This discrimination
here.
That
exactly,
we're talking
the
about.
Discrimination.
Isn't this what the people are calling for, what the protesters are calling for, especially
exactly.
against the majority Shiites?
I mean, the majority
it's this
of the
handpicking
Shiites.
Why doesn't the king stop at that and keep his kingdom?
Because in this case, he believes that there could be infiltration by the Shias in case he gives them sensitive positions in the army or in the government or in ministerial positions or even departments, major departments. It seems he is a bit careful, you know, or very scared that some Shiites can infiltrate his own government and hence infiltrate the security agencies, because I think he has a grip hold like an iron fist right now over his own nation. I think he needs to relax a bit more diplomatically speaking. He needs to open up and listen to the opposition. He has to listen to them and what they have to say economically, socially, human rights, let's say, and all the rights that any citizen internationally can have. But it seems the media publicly is not being seen by international communities such as Europe and in the West and the United States, Canada, Australia itself. So the huge international correlationship between pressuring the whole ruling party and then the king himself and aiding the opposition, and this will have a turning point to him and to the oppositionists, hopefully, inside Bahrain.
Yes, let me go back to Dr. Saeed Shahabi. The fact that several political groups have been banned from the elections, including the Al-Wifaq party, do you think that really shuts the door against all people's demands? The fact that there was a possibility that there could be a reform through the parliament, now that's probably impossible. What is the reason for this, do you think?
Well, the present political structure does not allow for reforms. This regime is not reformable. If you could reform Gaddafi's regime, if you could reform Mubarak's regime, if you could reform any of those antiquated regimes, if you could really reform the Saudi monarchy, then you may be able to do the same thing with Bahrain. This regime is just not reformable. They will never accede power to the people. They will not let people determine their own destiny, choose their own prime minister, choose their own representatives with real powers, choose their own ministers. That is beyond their comprehension. So to think that you can infiltrate the regime through elections, through ballot boxes, and make a change is just a fantasy. You just simply couldn't do it in the past five, six, seven, 10 years of experience of this election experience has proven beyond any reasonable doubt that reform could simply not evolve from within the regime. There has to be a fundamental change in the balance of power in the country in favor of the people, and not to confirm and to assert the authority of the ruling family. Once they are asserted as a As a family, they committed crimes. They destroyed mosques. They killed people. They used, firearms. And they are supported and aided by foreign powers. Today, for example, the Times newspaper has its own investigation into the supplying of arms to the dictatorships after the Arab Spring. Between February and June this year, the government of Britain has supplied Bahrain with shotguns, with small rifles and firearms, although they were aware that they were used against demonstrations, and although there was an earlier undertaking to revoke the export licenses of these arms. So today it is proven beyond any reasonable doubt that foreign powers are at work supporting these dictatorships, and as long as this support is there, they will never be ready to offer any concessions on political demands of the people.
Yes, now allow me to have on the phone Mr. Nabil Rajab. He is head of the Bahrain Center for Human Rights. He's joining us on the phone from Manama. I want to welcome you to the show. Mr. Rajab, I want to ask you about what you think of this pardon from the king himself, and he has said that he will pardon some of the people. He said not all of the people who were arrested during the latest crackdown. But what is the connection, do you think, between this and the actions of a legal group headed by an Egyptian-American lawyer? Do you think that is a certain plan which was actually established by the king himself? What do you think the objective is of the address, the pardon, and the legal group?
First of all, dear, and I think by saying the king pardoned the people, that might lead the listener, because he said that he will pardon people who insulted him only, which means I think only one charge against those detainees will be lifted, but I'm not mistaken, which is inciting hatred against the regime. This is one of many charges were put against the political prisoners and those people in detention. He said that will be removed, and that does not mean that he will release all the political prisoners. It does not mean that people who are in detention will be released. And in fact, as regard to the question of the committee formed by the government, we can't judge now. Yes, it was formed by the king. Yes, many people see the king as responsible as well for the human rights violation and crime committed in this country. Now, from last night's speech, you could realize that the king tried to isolate himself from responsibility. He tried to distance himself from all those crimes committed. And yes, that's why he formed the committee. And I think one of the things that is worrying the ruling elite here is the systematic torture were used against protesters and against human rights defenders in detention, which is considered by the International Criminal Court as part of the crime against humanity. A crime against humanity, which is the International Criminal Court accept as a case. And this could be a frightening, threatening matter to the ruling elite. And I think they would expect that this committee will distance them from the responsibility of the crime against humanity.
Yes.
By maybe what we expect that the committee might say that many crimes have been committed, but those big guys in power are not responsible, and it is an isolated incident. This is what we have seen from the couple of statements released by the head of the commission in the past few weeks.
I want to thank you very much, Mr. Nabil Rajab, for joining us, for giving us your insight. Let me come back to you, Dr. Saloom. Now, how do you think the impact of changes, probable changes in Bahrain could lead to Saudi Arabia? How could they impact Saudi Arabia? Do you think that the U.S., Washington, the West are making efforts in order for this to not extend into any opposition inside Saudi Arabia.
Now, the U.S. interest and Saudi Arabian interest is to stabilize the economic and the security issues right now inside Bahrain, because this will immensely affect the Saudis' interest, actually, because it's a neighboring country and it's part of the GCC. And now the shield that Mr. Shehabi was thinking that Saudis are occupying, according to him, the Saudis are brothers to Bahrainis. They can infiltrate and they can go in as police officers or army personnel in case needed by the king himself in Bahrain. But this is against human rights to use friendly troops in order for them to attack their own people or doctors or let's say, anyone on the streets. But to me, the change of power, the balance of power needs to be shifted by the people. I agree with Mr. Shehabi. In a sense, when we lobby at a time internationally and regionally and locally by the oppositionists, whether we are political or NGOs, using our own civilized manner and international guests of honor or international relations in order for us to pressure at large the king himself, and hence we develop our own status economically and socially inside Bahrain, and then we can release ourselves from political prisons and whatever corruption or corrupt cases inside the government.
Yes, now you spoke of dialogue. Let me ask Mr. Saeed Shehabi, why do you think dialogue was stopped and one of the main opposition groups did walk out of the opposition? Why do you think that happened?
Because the regime did not want to have dialogue with the people. The regime, instead of talking to the people, sent his own servants to talk to the opposition. And then in order to dilute the whole process, he brought about 300 people, nothing to do with the political situation, and out of which only 10% representing the opposition, and they just talked about every possible thing that has nothing to do with the real issues of political change in the system, in the regime. So it was really a mockery. It was a useless, hopeless step by the regime, and it only confirms the idea that the Al Khalifa family is not ready for change, is not ready for dialogue, has never in its 200 years history engaged one day or once in dialogue with the people. And I challenge anybody to show that they really did engage the people in serious and meaningful dialogue. They think their dialogue is that the ruler would issue his verdicts and his orders and commands, and that the people should listen and obey. They are talking about master-slave relationship. This is something that the Bahraini population, the 14th of February youth, want to change and to overturn once and for all. Mm-hmm. This is a cancer. This Al Khalifa family has been a cancer in the Bahraini body, and I think the people have given their verdict that this cancer needs to be removed in line with all other dictatorships, yes, because dictatorships cannot be allowed to rule over civilians and all over moderate and progressive societies like the Bahraini one.
Yes, now Dr. Saeed, Dr. Shehabi, our guest here in Beirut said that that there could be interests, certain interests perhaps within the Khalifa family in order for the king not to let the prime minister step down. You think that, and some would argue also, that the crown prince is actually with reform. What do you think about that argument?
The prime minister's departure is a foregone conclusion. He has been in power for more than 40 years and has been a dictator, and he has spent his time, he's overstayed his welcome. So he would go anyway, naturally, in the natural course of history, he would go. He cannot stay much longer. Now, for him to be replaced by the present ruler or his son is a ridiculous argument, because they have sold the sovereignty of the country to the Saudis. They have failed to address the grievances of the people. They have overseen the torture process themselves. In fact, one of the ruler's sons, Nasser, himself has administered torture on Sheikh Mohammed Habib al-Maghdad and on Sheikh Mirza al-Mahrous, according to their own testimonies. So a ruler whose hands, who has a lot of blood on his hands, I can't understand how he can continue to rule the people. I think this problem between the prime minister and his nephew, the ruler, has been there, and it will continue because these people are always bickering on power in order as a way, as a routine. Some of them have killed others in the past.
Yes.
A brother killed his brother in order to remain in power. Because this is the tribal mentality. Bahrain must rid itself of this tribal mentality.
Yes.
And establish its own democratic, open society soon.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Shahabi. Final question for you, Dr. Saloum. There have been rumors that there's a new plan from Qatar, the fact that the prime minister steps down. However, there's no constitutional monarchy. What do you think is the role, or how accurate is this?
I think after listening to Mr. Shahabi, 40 years of rule is enough for this prime minister. He needs to be waved away by the king himself and bring another, could be a rule, member of the ruling family, but a more moderate, more open-minded person that he can rule the country with not an iron-faced, but with an open dialogue with his own people. And hence, we can look for reforms actually socially, economically, and under human rights issues for sure. Then Bahrain would be seen as a more open space for a moderate and an advancing nation in the Arab world today.
Do you think the U.S. might reconsider its strategic military position inside Bahrain, because if the crisis does go on?
No, it does not reconsider, because this is an important and very important strategic point for the Americans to stay there eventually, actually, in the Bahrain, facing the Islamic Republic of Iran, because this is one of the most important and strategic bases for the Americans internationally.
Nice. Thank you very much, Professor Dr. Maher Saloum, who was joining us here from Beirut. Dr. Saeed Shahabi also joining us in London. We're also joined on the phone by Mr. Nabeel Rajab, and we thank him also. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Stay with Press TV. Goodbye for now.